Welcome. Today, we're diving into practical steps for child safety in ministry environments. Let's start with leader-to-child ratios. Why is it so essential to maintain specific ratios, like 7, one for first and second grade, or 10, one for older children?
Great question. Appropriate ratios ensure every child receives adequate supervision and personalized attention. For example, with 7 children per leader, it's much easier to spot issues, engage each child, and respond quickly in emergencies. Research shows lower ratios correlate with fewer accidents and better learning outcomes.
That makes sense. But what happens if a room exceeds the recommended maximum, say 25 students?
Exceeding recommended caps can create safety hazards and limit meaningful interaction. Imagine trying to manage 30 energetic second graders alone. It's nearly impossible to ensure all needs are met. The guidelines are there to prevent chaos and burnout, serving both leaders and children.
And these ratios aren't just about logistics, they're also about emotional safety, right?
Exactly. A manageable group size fosters trust and helps children feel seen. It's easier to build positive relationships, identify emotional needs, and create a nurturing environment when you're not stretched too thin. Transitioning from ratios, let's talk about another critical aspect: preparing volunteers for their unique responsibilities.
Volunteer readiness goes beyond showing up. What practices can help leaders prepare their hearts and lessons before serving?
Preparation is multifaceted. Reviewing lesson materials beforehand is essential, but emotional and spiritual readiness matters too. Some leaders pray for wisdom and patience, which research links to greater confidence and empathy. It's like an athlete warming up before a game mental and practical prep boost performance.
That's a helpful analogy. During class, what strategies do you recommend for building strong, supportive relationships with kids?
Consistency and affirmation are key. Simple actions greeting children by name, celebrating their efforts, and encouraging questions establish trust. At dismissal, sharing positive feedback with parents strengthens the home church connection. For example, telling a parent, "Your child asked thoughtful questions today," reinforces a child's value.
How can volunteers ensure every child feels included, especially in large or diverse groups?
Intentional engagement is vital. Asking each child, "What did you learn today?" or offering a warm goodbye helps foster belonging. Research from the Search Institute highlights that affirming relationships are a top protective factor for youth, reducing behavioral issues and improving well-being. Now, let's consider how we protect those relationships through careful safety policies.
Safety policies form the backbone of children's ministry. Could you walk us through key practices, particularly regarding physical contact and social media?
Absolutely. Physical contact should always be positive and appropriate. Think brief side hugs, high fives, or pats on the back. Avoiding any touch that could be misinterpreted is critical. For instance, never allowing children to sit in your lap or ride in an elevator alone with an adult minimizes risk and maintains clear boundaries.
Social media adds another layer. What's the rationale behind strict guidelines like not posting children's photos or engaging with kids' accounts?
It's about safeguarding privacy and maintaining professional boundaries. With over 70% of youth using social media, even seemingly innocent interactions can expose children to risks or create perceptions of favoritism. That's why ministry policies require parental consent before sharing any images and prohibit direct messaging or friend requests between volunteers and kids.
How do these policies hold up during overnight trips or emergencies, like evacuations?
The same principles apply. Always ensure two adults are present, never be alone with a child, and follow designated procedures for emergencies. These protocols create a culture of accountability protecting children and volunteers alike. Speaking of emergencies, let's examine how ministries prepare for medical or crisis situations.
Emergencies, whether a fire drill, medical incident, or pandemic, require clear protocols. What are best practices for ensuring every child's safety in these moments?
Preparation is crucial. For evacuations, leaders must count children, carry attendance lists, and not release kids until staff give the all clear. In medical incidents, minor injuries can be handled with first aid, but serious cases require staff to call 911 and notify parents. This avoids confusion and ensures a coordinated, professional response.
How does communication play into this, especially during prolonged crises like pandemics?
Regular, multi-channel contact is vital. Weekly calls or postcards help maintain connection, and digital platforms like Facebook or Zoom facilitate ongoing engagement. However, all online interactions must include another adult and prior approval, which aligns with broader safety standards. This approach was shown in a 2021 Barna study to keep families more engaged and resilient during lockdowns.
What about scenarios where a child's own parent is a volunteer?
Policies require that volunteers' children attend their own classes or be supervised by a different guardian. This minimizes distractions and ensures every child, including volunteers' own, receives equal care and attention. Altogether, these layers of policy and preparation create a safe, trustworthy ministry environment.
Thank you for unpacking these vital safeguards. As we've seen, intentional planning and clear communication are the foundation of effective child protection in ministry.